I once heard a meditation defined as the continual act of befriending oneself. So the second stage of purification is purification of mind, and it's understood to involve meditation practice, so the samadhi part of the triple training. But I think it's also possible to understand that the first training in virtue, purification of, through virtue, can also be described as a continual process of befriending oneself. That part of the reason, part of the motivation, part of the consequence of engaging in ethical training and training in personal integrity is to become your own friend, to befriend yourself. It's a kind thing to do, a friendly thing to do for oneself. And it isn't so much that we're trying to do right by others or do right by some abstract moral code, but we're trying to do right for ourselves, so trying to befriend, be friendly, or be our own friend by living in a way that we don't harm ourselves, that we benefit ourselves. And this movement towards benefiting ourselves continues with the practice of samadhi. And one way of understanding meditation is it's doing in a much more refined way, living in a much more refined way with the ethics that we're developing in our wider life, in the obvious life. That with samadhi, with meditation practice, we're paying attention to the subtle ways in which we are maybe unkind, or that we take what's not given, or that we kill aspects of ourselves, that we steal from ourselves, that we lie to ourselves, live in delusion, or we get intoxicated our thoughts and ideas and senses of self and our resentments and fantasies, or the ways in which we might also engage in sexual misconduct in our own minds and fantasy in a way that might be pleasurable, but maybe it's not really beneficial if we get lost in those worlds for long periods of time. So to do it in the subtle ways, to look at our minds and the way we get separated from ourselves. And part of the function of samadhi is this movement towards integrity, which I take to mean to become whole, to bring it together and not be at war with ourselves or against any part of ourselves, or not be scattered, fragmented. The way that the kind of the classic image of getting you concentrated is taking dry powder and moistening it. And so with the water, the powder gets sticky and it sticks together, and you can make a ball, like, you know, flour and water makes a dough. And the idea of taking things which are not sticky together, not held together, it can blow away. The first wind comes along and the powder just kind of blows away. And kind of bringing it together into a whole through bringing moisture into it. And so then this idea, the powder is all the desperate, fragmented parts of who we are. And I'm not sure what the water symbolizes exactly, but often water symbolizes consciousness in some schools of thought. And maybe water represents the ability to bring mindfulness to hold things together and bring together. Sometimes it's associated with concentration, that the concentration is a unifying factor that brings things together and unifies who we are. And this idea of becoming whole or unified, it's a very friendly thing to do, to be able to see all of ourselves and hold all of ourselves in one place, no part left out. And so this idea of purification of the mind or the heart involves shedding or putting to rest the forces in our hearts and minds which fragment us, where we are separated from ourselves, where we kind of lose ourselves or disconnected from ourselves in some deep, whole way. And so the classic description of what gets purified in the purification of the mind is we get purified from the five hindrances. And also the tradition understands that in order to get concentrated, that the five hindrances need to abate, need to quiet down. Because the hindrances, when are forces of the mind that hinder concentration, that hinder us to be really present for our experience in a whole, settled way. So the five hindrances are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and remorse, and doubt. Now these things don't have to be hindrances in and of themselves. It's possible that they can bubble up and we have enough presence of mind and mindfulness and that we can hold it in a way that we don't lose ourselves. But from time to time it happens that these get the upper hand and we kind of lose ourselves. We get disconnected in some deep way with ourselves. We get pulled into the world of sensual desire and fantasies and desires. And it can feel quite compelling, sometimes because of the promise of pleasure or the promise of something good happening there. So we can feel like it's going in the right way, but if you spend a lot of time in it, you find yourself, you get more and more disconnected, and it kind of like our world becomes narrower and fragmented from us as a whole. Ill will the same way. It's a world in itself that people enter into, the world of hate and ill will. And some people in there for years without coming out. And it's at a tremendous cost to be caught up in hate and ill will. It's again part of another disconnect from ourselves, from the whole of who we are. And the sloth and torpor as a kind of forces of resistance or forces of shutting down or forces of, you know, sleeping rather than being awake, metaphorically sleeping, not paying attention. You know, we're also not awake to ourselves. And restlessness and remorse can also be a universe in itself that people enter into and it's kind of get caught up in thoughts and ideas and concerns and regrets. So that kind of becomes its own little universe that keeps us kind of agitated and not settled in ourselves at home. And doubt also. The movement of doubt tends to be there can be feelings of doubt, kind of a feeling of unease and uncertainty that's powerful in the body. But doubt is most strongly associated with beliefs that we have. Beliefs, I can't do it, or I don't know what to do, or I'm confused here and lost, and I'm not sure this is the right time and day and retreat. And what should I do? I don't know. And Sylvia Borstein tells a story of having a multiple hindrance attack when she was sitting at Barry, the IMS in Massachusetts. And the way she tells the story was that apparently the number of the hindrances kind of all rose together for her. And they were very compelling, very believable. So she believed them and followed through on the messages that were coming through with multiple hindrance attack. And she didn't realize that all it was a multiple hindrance attack until she found herself on the plane returning to California. Meaning she went and got a ticket and left the retreat early so she could, you know. So that's pretty powerful, you know, the force of the hindrances operating. And so they generally, hindrances are understood to be forces which keep us separate from ourselves. And so the idea, the task is to befriend ourselves, to be not separate from ourselves, to be whole again, to in a sense, to come back to ourselves again. And come to the place of rest, or come into the place of being whole or settled and open. Sometimes getting concentrated is described as going through an opening, like through a door. You step through this door, this opening, into a new world. And the new world is ourselves in a full way, complete way, with a kind of clarity. And once a person goes through that door of being concentrated in the clarity and the steadiness, stability, the unification of samadhi, then it's possible to understand that how people often live in their normal life is kind of like there's all this static. Like you were looking at we're hearing maybe, we didn't realize that the speakers that we were listening to were full of static until we heard we've got better speakers. And then, wow, it's so clear. Or we don't realize that there's static on the monitor that we're looking at until it finally gets, you know, it really clear. It's, oh, I didn't know. So part of the function of samadhi, getting concentrated, is to step through this door into a kind of like a different world or a clearer world, so that we realize that, you know, how we're living maybe isn't as connected or settled or present or whole as we thought it was. So I like to think of samadhi as coming home to ourselves, becoming whole to ourselves. And it's often said that a lot of what it takes to develop concentration is not doing so much as letting go. It's a lot of letting go that needs to happen. So letting go of distractions, of thoughts. So sometimes classically concentration is developed by choosing something to focus on, like the breathing, and just kind of being really committed to that, being really interested in that. Being more interested in that than you're interested in whatever wonderful thoughts and fantasies you can have. And so whenever something comes up in the mind, let go of it. Let it go, or, you know, hold steady on the focus on the breathing. And it can be a little bit of an act of will, to stay there, but it also involves letting go. And the letting go part is partly that part of the concentration practice that protects us from straining, from pushing and trying too hard. The letting go is to release the tensions we have, release the preoccupations we have. One of the unfortunate things that many people do when they're developing concentration is they try too hard, or they get kind of grim and serious about doing it. And, concentration develops on a basis of goodwill, sense of well-being. And so to be able to kind of connect to oneself and discover places of well-being or joy or happiness, and use that as a reference point. Oh yeah, it's good. It's good to come back to myself. And I've had this when I've practiced, where conventionally I was not in a good place. I was maybe depressed or angry or very sad about something, or something going on for me, filled with all kinds of self-criticism and feeling bad about myself. And so conventionally that was quite uncomfortable, how I was feeling. But where I found my gladness, my happiness, my sense of well-being, was how I was practicing with that. That I could come back to that, I can be present for it, I can breathe with it, I can be in the middle of it, and I knew that I was on a path to becoming free, or to healing. And so even though it felt bad in and of itself, it felt really good to have this being connected, being present, the sense of being present, alive, attentive, caring, engaged as part of the path. That felt good. That felt satisfying. And so that became kind of the little bit of the cheerleader or the encouragement. Yes, stay here. Stay on track. Stay with this. Be present. Stay here. Stay here in this wonderful homecoming that concentration practice makes. In the Theravadin tradition, all meditation practices involve developing concentration. And there's discussion about different kinds of concentration you can develop, but it all involves developing an ability to be settled, stable, steady, unified, and, you know, gather together, you know, just really right here. And as I've said earlier, one of the things that this takes is being more interested in being present right here than being interested in anything else. And sometimes it's useful to look at, you know, why are you so interested in other things? Why is your mind pulled off into all kinds of other concerns? There might be a very good reason for why you're interested or concerned with other things, but is this really the right time and place to have that interest? Does it really serve you in a deep way to be thinking about issues that go on outside of here? Or is there something more valuable to be done here? Here at this place, this time. And one of the ways that I've practiced with a kind of a concentration is that I found very helpful. It doesn't practice concentration as a kind of avoidance of what's happening, or pushing things away so I can get concentrated, is to practice with the idea of concentric circles. So, in a certain kind of way, we're the center of our universe. Each of us is our own universe, because that's where your attention kind of radiates from, this spot here, kind of. And so we have concentric circles as we go outwards away from us. So sometimes what I do is I'll take the widest concentric circle of my experience and try to open as wide as I can to, this is what's happening. And there are times when I've labeled this to myself, the only thing that was appropriate to call the moment was chaos. Just there was nothing else, no other understanding that made any sense at the moment. Just, I didn't know what was going on, it was just chaos. And then really big. But sometimes it's another kind of understanding, but sometimes it's as wide as I can to hold it all, to create a heart that's as wide as it needs to be to hold the experience, and to all the different aspects of it. Or a mind that's big enough, spacious enough to not push anything away, but be almost like bigger than anything, the details of what's happening. And to relax and open, and all this is happening now. And some of you know that I'm fond of saying the word here. Just say the word here as I meditate. And then as I say here, then just open to what's here. And sometimes I do that as wide as I can. Just all of this. This is how it is. And it's a kind of a radical thing to do if what you usually do is be anywhere but here. if you know you're mostly kind of caught up in the past or the future or some other place, but to kind of just be really here in a full way, but to open up and be really wide. And then bring a concentric circle in. Come closer. Come closer to yourself and, well, what's happening here? What's happening in the body? You know, and all this chaos or all these feelings, and what's happening here? And feel the body, and that's what's happening in the present moment. And then come in closer. Yeah, and closer in, you know, what is it, you know, not just what the body's experiencing, but, you know, is it what's going on with my emotions and feelings, and what's happening kind of inside with the energies? And then come closer, and what's happening with, you know, my thoughts and ideas and beliefs? Come closer, what's happening with my breathing? How's my breathing in the middle of all this? Not to push anything away, but kind of to breathe in the middle, to come, like I said earlier, to stand in the middle of the boat, the raft, you know, to just be in a balanced way with it all. And then I find that if I do that, sometimes I have to open up to include more that I've left out, and then sometimes I can come back to the center. And this image I have of these concentric circles and coming in closer and closer to like the home base at the middle, it's kind of like, I very much like the idea of a bowl, a big bowl. And if you drop a marble into the bowl and leave it alone, it'll kind of explore the edges back and forth until the momentum kind of starts going out of the bowl, and it comes eventually to rest at the bottom of the bowl. So we kind of open to include it all, and at first we have all these loose marbles in there. And as we kind of open and hold them, and we no longer spinning the ball or pushing it along, leaving it alone, leave everything alone, and let everything kind of settle down by themselves. And then eventually they come to rest. Your mind comes to rest in a settled, clear place at the bottom. So in order to do that, though, it helps to overcome the hindrances. And to help overcome the hindrances, it really helps to identify them clearly, to see them. That, oh, look, this is what's happening now. And the value of clear identification is that then it's things are included. Then you can hold them in the concentric circles. But if we don't identify, if we don't see it, then it's kind of like maybe just outside of a circle, or just kind of underneath, or hidden, or somehow it can't be integrated as part of it all. But once you identify it, you start the integration process. So to recognize if there's ill will, to really recognize it. And maybe that's the widest concentric circle around ill will, just to recognize it's there. And then to kind of gently come in, closer. What is this experience really like? And it's, you know, there's a lot of heat and contraction. Maybe if there's anger, stomach is in knots. And so you come closer and feel that. And you know, how is it there in that belly, in the stomach? Well, it's really tight, and the size of that knot is like a baseball ball. And so you come closer and feel that. Or as you come closer, you might notice that the mind is swirling in stories, ideas, and what people did and said and should have done. Or it could be that there's a lot of memories that come up and images that come up as part of this whole thing. And so you see, you come in, you see, oh, this is what's happening. This is what's happening. And there's something about just seeing that's meant to be freeing. There's something about how we practice mindfulness, which is a unique way to be present, where we're just to see the experience, be with the experience, without being entangled, without being for or against, without believing it or disbelieving it, without being entangled, without a lot of thoughts and ideas, just to see. Oh, it's like this. It's like this. This is how it is. This is what's happening. And so we come in and we come closer and closer, and perhaps in the end, as come in, you come back to the breathing again. And if the ill will or the anger is still there, perhaps it's enough, now that everything's included, is to breathe in the middle of it and just breathe with it. And part of the value of coming back to the breathing is that that's a nice concentration object, but also the breathing is an integrating force. And to kind of, and to breathe, to stay, keep the attention with the breathing primarily, but breathe with the anger, with the sensations of the body, it's a way of kind of protecting us from getting caught up in reactivity or thoughts or getting pulled back into the world of anger or whatever it might be. And then just breathe with it. Stay with it. And perhaps then we get more settled. We get more steady. And this quest for a steady mind or a steady attention, quest for a steadiness of body and posture, rooted in our experience, rooted here, present here. So this process of coming home or integrating ourselves that samadhi is supported by having some sense, some feeling of something in that process of getting settled or getting concentrated that feels good, has a rightness to it, that feels settling, that feels satisfying. And that can be a wide range of things. Some teachers emphasize the role of feeling pleasure. And so you look around and see, where is there some pleasure associated with getting concentrated? And then use that sense of pleasure or that joy or the happiness as a platform or as a reference point to kind of help you stay with it, keep going. Sometimes there's a biofeedback kind of loop that goes on, where it becomes very clear that if you stay like focusing on the breathing, there arises this kind of nice feeling in the body somehow. I think of it as a cat purring when you pet the cat. It can be sensations of tingling or lightness. It could be feelings of intense pleasure. You can feel kind of sense of delight, joy. Sometimes the visual field becomes very light and open. Sometimes there's a strong feeling of sweetness that might spread from the breathing or some parts of the body. We have all kinds of things that might arise. And so you feel these things, and then you kind of know, you kind of include that, you kind of breathe with it or stay focused, and there's this wonderful kind of feedback loop that might happen, where if you stay focused, to stay with the petting the cat purrs more and more. And then you know you're petting the cat well because it's purring more. So you pet more and it purrs more, and you know, it just, cat can't believe how lucky it is. And so we kind of stay with the concentration, stay, and we're gonna feel, oh, this feels really good to do. And so what's happening as we go into it is something that's often called absorption. We're diving in, we're delving into the experience fully. And as we go deeper and deeper into it, it just feels so good for the whole system. So something about the biochemistry of being in a relaxed, full way, absorbed in something with concentration, that does something very nice to the whole physiology. And so to kind of go in there, so you start recognizing and feeling the sense of well-being that might well up, even if it's just little hints. And you say, oh. Being very careful not to be greedy, very careful not to make this into an engineering project, to try to make something happen so much, but just appreciate it, like a little like support, like, you know, like, yeah, you're doing good, stay with it, stay there, continue, come home. I've used that sometimes in my meditation, that those two words, come home, Gil, come home. Come home right here. Come here. You know, especially as I start getting concentrated, just come home. Come here. Right here. Be with us. And so then, as this pull of absorption, pull of concentration, one of the characteristics of it is we get more and more interested in being present, more and more interested in being right here. And it's possible to feel when the mind starts drifting off in thought, it's no longer so interesting. Now, why would you do that? It's kind of like you managed to get a space of very little static, and then you allow the static to come back. No, no, I don't need to do that. There's going to be lots of opportunities for that later. So right now, it's nice to keep it this way. Keep it simple. Keep it relaxed. Stay interested here. Stay interested. Stay present. Stay. Come home. Be here. Stay focused. An image I've had for developing samadhi is when I was, I think I was maybe in second or third grade, we would bring magnets to school. Back then there was these little school round U-shaped red magnets that we'd bring to school. And there was a sandbox, and somehow there was this, I don't know, there was little metal pieces, I don't know what they were, iron pieces, something in the sand, little black little things. And if we went and took the magnet over the sand, back and forth, straight back and forth, all those little kind of metal things that were there, they would get lined up and get straight back and forth. And you could do it for a while, back and forth, back and forth. But if you kind of went, you know, around and about, then it wouldn't make a nice straight line. But it takes a little while. So that, anyway, I don't remember my memory so well how that kid thing worked, but it doesn't matter because the image of it for me, if they say, you kind of just stay with the breathing, stay with the focus of concentration, stay with your feet walking. It's kind of like you keep doing it, and then eventually things begin to line up. Things get gathered. All the little powder pieces that usually get blown away by the first breeze that comes along, the first concern that comes along, they don't get blown away because they start sticking together. They have this wonderful moisture that holds them. And the image of this moist ball of powder that the Buddha describes, it's talked about to really get the moisture permeating all the powder, like getting all the moisture into the water, into the dough of the bread you're making. You knead it for a while. You really knead it. So there's a little bit of kind of staying here and kneading and kind of petting the cat, kneading the dough. Can you stay right here? Yeah, here you go. This is the place. Now, here. Now. And there's a kind of a tender, for me, a tender, almost sacred kind of engagement to explore and feel and be just here with this experience. Focused, relaxed, deep. Until somehow, at some point, you don't have to do the work anymore to stay present. You feel like really you're here. There's a stability. And your mind might wander off a little bit by itself, but it just, I've described it to myself as there's like a rubber band attached to my thoughts. So my thoughts begin to wander off, but then as it gets stretched out, the rubber band, it pulls everything back. I don't have to work at staying present. There's a little tendency at first to kind of wander off, but I just kind of, it's not going to go anywhere. There's no juice for it, or it just stays here. So right here, to be interested, and the core thing, the main thing I want to try to convey here today, and the thing that I hope that all these different ways of talking about it point to is not so much getting concentrated, but rather in a relaxed, friendly way, being really interested in your present moment experience, what's happening here and now. Be more interested in this than the thoughts you have. But what is happening here? What's going on? Let's be here. Be interested. What's this happening here? So this purification of mind, the second stage of the seven purifications, could be called purification of interest. So that your interest is getting simpler, clearer, freed of all the different interests that you'd rather not be interested in. Now the story that I told yesterday of these two monks talking, and Sariputta asks the other monk, you know, is it for the purpose of purification through virtue that you practice and he says no. And then he says, well, is it for the purification through purification of the mind that you practice? And he says no. The concentration practice, or being settled or being unified, really coming at home and settled, is not the point in and of itself of what, at least what the Buddha talked about in the path to liberation. And this is somewhat useful to know, because it can be so satisfying to become unified, concentrated, at home in oneself, concentrated, settled here. Some people will say, well, that's it. There's nothing more to do. In the Buddhist path, having being settled and steady and stable, rooted here in this moment, in the present moment, creates the conditions for wisdom, for insight, depending how you translate prajna. Because we want to be able to really see clearly, see deeply into our lives, deeply into our hearts, deeply into what's happening with us. And it's hard to do that if there's a lot of static. It's hard to do that if we're not stable. If you hold a big telescope in your hands to try to look at the moon, you probably won't see it very well because you can't hold it still enough for that. But if you put the telescope on a tripod, then it's stable, and then you can have a steady gaze at the moon. And so the function of concentration is to have the stability that allows us to see. It's to create the ability to see or to understand without static, so we can see more clearly and more deeply into what's happening. And that's the task of the next five purifications. It's to begin looking, using the stable, settled mind, to start seeing in a deeper way what our experience is. And so the next one that we'll talk about tomorrow is purification of view, purification of understanding, purification of really seeing in some detail what is going on here that is not normally revealed to us. And to do that is be steady and stable. So that was a little teaser, a little cliffhanger. Dharma cliffhanger. Probably didn't work. So that you prepare yourself for tomorrow by seeing if you can come home to yourself, come home to this moment, get settled here, get interested. What is here? What's going on? What's happening? I remember when I was a Zen student, Someone gave a Dharma talk about Bodhidharma, the person, the monk who brought Zen to China. And he had a very memorable audience with the emperor, and he kind of stumped the emperor, and the emperor asked questions, and he answered in ways that the emperor couldn't understand. And because the emperor couldn't understand, Bodhidharma left and crossed the river. And then he went off into a cave and sat in the cave, I think for 9 years, just meditated facing the wall of the cave. And the Dharma teacher gave the story, left the end of the story, kind of like a koan, maybe it is a koan, but left it with a question. Why did Bodhidharma sit in the cave for 9 years meditating? That was the question. And I was just really taken by that question. And so I went down and spent the rest of the evening meditating alone in the Zendo, because I thought that it was something I knew I couldn't think about the answer, but I thought if I sat, I was so interested. What is it? I got so interested. You know, if I just sit here and really be in my experience, what is it? Why did he sit facing the wall? Why did he do that? What you know? So something got me. It doesn't sound logical now. You probably think I'm strange. But I just, what is it? What is this? And I got very still, very quiet. I never got an answer. But it was really lovely to just kind of be so present and engaged with this question. What is this? So I leave you with that cliffhanger. May you just sit and be interested in, be really like, interest in this moment experience. What is it? What is going on here? And can you do it in a way that your mind gets stiller and quieter and more at home, more settled? A continual act of befriending yourself. So thank you.